from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Getting your day started.
Go ahead.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the morning shift. Who deserves a wake-up call? 404-726-0929.
I got one real quick. Mike Norvell, apparently, because Florida State fans are livid. They're livid that Georgia Tech flew home to get ready for Georgia State, yet Florida State players were sightseeing on Sunday. And Florida State fans on warchant.com are not having it. I've been really having fun with Florida State's social media accounts this
weekend. Have made them run stadium steps inside that stadium in Dublin after the game with full pads on or something.
They should have literally not left the field and had a full-fledged scrimmage after that loss. That's right. And they're not going to get better, Rob.
All right, Max Fried on the mound tonight. 6'9", Bailey Ober pitching for the Twins. That's going to be, what, a 7:30, something like that. 3 in Minnesota, then 4 in Philadelphia this weekend. Georgia getting ready to entertain Clemson at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A noon kickoff. Georgia Tech basking in the glory of their upset victory over Florida State. So let's go out to the phones right now. Let's go to Larry in a truck. Larry, what you got? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Two things, both related to Rob. First of all, Rob, I love it because you're the only one who has the cojones to do the double entendre sexual jokes. I like that. That comes across real good. And secondly,
wait a minute. Is that sarcasm or do you actually appreciate it?
No. I'm twisted like you, bro. When
okay,
it comes
well,
to
good,
that,
good. Okay.
My brain is all like that. And then, secondly, the Braves, I totally agree with you. It's just been too inconsistent. I don't have any trust that they can get into a must-hit or pitch situation, especially with Luke Jackson. Let's just be honest. I remember the last time he was on the team. And, you know, I just don't think that it makes me feel like we can trust him when we get in a difficult circumstance. So those are my two things, and I'm headed to Mercedes-Benz to take care of my little job, and I'm going to keep on going. Y'all have a great day.
All right, appreciate
it,
Larry.
Here's the thing. I don't think you're going to see Luke Jackson if he made the playoffs. Like,
no.
You got to remember that, you know, I would expect Morton to be, I know people, this is blasphemy apparently because he's got all this experience, but I don't think Morton is a starter in the postseason.
I don't either. I'd take Spencer Swellenbach over Charlie Morton right now today.
But to me, what that means is if Chavez continues to struggle, guys like Luke Jackson, who need extra innings
DFA.
I think you would see Morton in a long inning relief role on the postseason roster. And not to mention, but what you can have a guy like that if Ronaldo Lopez, I don't want to wish thing in existence, but what if you get in a game and something happens where there's
we don't need the something happens scenarios anymore.
But if something
happens,
don't put
that out there in the universe.
Don't put it out there.
That's why you carry a Morton like that, because I think Morton could come in and give you innings because he has that experience. So I don't think you need to worry about Luke Jackson. For me, it's about could you have enough offense to sustain and get there. That's the big. Can you get there with and because how many games me and Nikki were going through it this morning, Rob. Tuesday. The Braves won 3-1. Wednesday they lost 3-2. Thursday they won 3-2. Friday they won 3-2 in extra innings. Saturday they won 4-2, and then yesterday they lost 5-1. They are playing very close games. They are built from a pitching staff wise to win close games. They just have not And now recently they've had a little stretch of it, and that's why they've been upticking a little bit, but they've not been able to get the offense to win close games.
Scariest team in the National League is the Milwaukee Brewers.
Because of why? What do you think? Why?
Just top to bottom. Stealing bases, or they're getting key hits. There's a different contributor every night. They're pitching pretty well. They're feisty.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What we used to be.
What we used to be. And that's the thing that stands out, a different guy every night, what used to happen, you know, a couple of years ago. But
well, we've got Gio Urshela playing pretty well.
You know, good for him.
Ramon Laureano's playing pretty well. Whit Merrifield to the two errors. I mean, he's been playing all right.
Yeah, but
is it enough to sustain and hopefully grab that wild card?
I don't.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
To your point, the reason you can't sustain it is every time you get someone back and you think, okay, now we can kind of make hay, then someone else gets hit in the hand.
I know.
Well, that's history has told us that, but we can't put that out for the future. You know?
Luckily, I believe Michael Harris was announced that after the game he'll be day to day.
Yeah.
So it's
hopefully
nothing.
He's okay.
Nothing. It's seemingly bad, you know. So we might keep him around.
It's time
for
to start headhunting if you're a Braves pitcher. Stop hitting our guys in the wrist and hands.
A hand for a hand.
Hand for a hand, and eye for an eye. That's right.
Rob's ready for that. He's going to call Snit today. Hey, here's what I think needs to happen.
I don't think he'll take my call though. And I don't think I've done too much double entendre stuff today. I think I've been a.
You've been great today.
Yeah, out of respect for you, she doesn't need to hear my nonsense. You know, right?
Yeah, I actually agree. You got a little thing going with your hair, though.
What do you mean?
It just ended up front. It just there's like two hairs that are kind of going up, almost like a something
well,
about
I'm,
Mary
I'm,
look.
I'm ridiculous. You know, it's what are you gonna do?
Triple is he's the best dressed member of the morning shift.
Oh, am I with this T-shirt?
No, normally you have
when
different
the weather
looks.
Gets cold. That's when I'll bring out the things.
The things.
Mr. Rogers cardigans is what you're saying, or the flannel.
No, I wasn't going Mr. Rogers. He's got a professor look. He's got a Seattle hipster look. I mean, he's got depth.
There is some depth. Let's go out to, we got Chief in South Fulton. Good morning, Chief. What you got? What's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief? Good morning, Ms. Palmer and Rob Lowe and my tribal chief.
Sir?
Morning.
Good morning. Now, let's get to Georgia Tech right quick. My wake-up call is for ESPN. Well, I listen to you guys. But if you listen to them, the coronation they gave Florida State before that game, they act like Georgia Tech never had a history. They actually act like Georgia Tech never had a history. Like we never won a national championship.
Thank goodness for Sheamus, right?
There you go. Or we never ever all had Heisman winners or anything like that. So I don't know. But ESPN, you know, wake up. Georgia Tech's back. I got a quick question for you guys right quick. You all three have did, you know, interviews with a lot of coaches. And, I mean, you don't have to give me a coach that's coaching right now, but give me one coach in the past that you interviewed that you just think, what an ass. What an ass.
Oh, boy. That's Nikki, you're probably better off to announce that. No, I'm just kidding. That stuff. I've had some former players that were. I mean, I'll go off the script. I know it's not a coach, but Steve Smith, former Carolina Panther, now works at NFL Network, was a complete jerk to us, to me, when I thought I asked a pretty fair question. I'll never get over it.
That's
I didn't
a horrible
like
question to be honest.
Yeah, shut up, Steve.
That really stuck with you. That scarred you.
We can talk about it now if you want.
You know what the problem was? I never liked him as a player. I liked this type of player was. I liked the way he played. Right? He kind of had a Hines Ward type chip on his shoulder. The way he played, very physical, tough. But he was a guy that was. Basically, you know, if you talk to anybody that played with him, a lot of people didn't think he was a very good teammate. And then he breaks another guy's jaw as a sucker punch, one of his own teammates in a meeting. And I let all that go, and I said, no, I think he could be good in the interview, and I'm going to ask some questions. Nope. Jerk.
Oh, Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson?
Oh, good Lord. The pseudo-intellectual nonsense, the Zen master, all the
Didn't you like Steve Kerr's kind of trying to be that too? Popovich is another guy that's
yeah.
Not
it's like just stop.
Smartest guy in the room. Stop.
Just ask him.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and Popovich did it with, you know, it's kind of he Craig Sager did a really good job with
he disarmed Popovich.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah, but Popovich is not.
And Popovich likes Doris through Doris Burke.
Yeah, but other than that, he's kind of a jerk to other people, and which is interesting, and just how that. I don't understand why guys have to be that way. You know who was, I'm not I'll speak maybe four, but when Tiffany had Greg Schiano last year on the sideline, and they did the quarter break interview that they do now, he was a jerk to her.
Coaches have to hate that, though. Honestly, like, you know, to bring them out of the game and into an interview moment when they've got so much other stuff going on in their head and people in their headset or whatever, like,
it's
that's
useless.
The last thing they want to
do. Yeah, it's useless.
And they're not going to give you anything.
No.
I mean, anyway, that's how I feel about it. It's, and my, what I was going to say was I was doing a Friday night game on ESPN, and it was Bobby Petrino. And we had to do the pre-game interview. And that moment right there, it was not a great moment. My phone blew up afterwards about how he handled that moment. And that was probably, you know, and that was his first season, I think, coming into Louisville after everything happened at Arkansas.
So back at Louisville,
And I'm like, I feel like you should be a little bit better in front of cameras, honestly, for a little bit more of a reputation builder, you know?
It's amazing the people that never learn their lesson. Bobby Petrino is very high on the list. I know that when he was in Atlanta, I've heard stories about basically just any and everything that he couldn't control, just losing his ish. And there was one time where they landed and they sat on the tarmac for a few minutes. And he started freaking out on the travel person at the time. I think it was my guy Spencer.
Oh, Spence Treadwell?
Yeah.
Oh, good dude.
And, you know, that's one of those moments where you just look at someone and essentially the head coach has got control over all these things on an NFL and college program. They make all these decisions, like from what you eat in the meal room to what time you leave, like all these things. How long the trip, you know, if it's a one-day trip, two-day trip, if it's West Coast. And it's just one of those moments where you look, I'm like, what do you want me to, like, I can't control the Atlanta airport. Like, I can't control when we roll off the tarmac. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
I know.
Well, brilliant offensive line, but he's a toxic personality disorder, just a walking personality.
And him and his brother are night and day from what I hear.
Yeah, I covered him when he was at, Iowa? And I did the Iowa-Florida game, and he was a delight.
And he's a guy that helped Roddy White in his career when he was here. Him and Joe Horn. Or kind of what turned Roddy White's kind of, you know, helped Roddy move into a different area. And Roddy's given them both credit for it as well. So it's interesting. Yeah, that's always
I felt like
question.
I could say that name in this city. Oh, you know what I mean?
Well,
George O'Leary could be very difficult, but I was there so often. I could charm him and make him laugh. And he intimidated most people. Didn't intimidate me.
I think a lot of people kind of said some stuff about Paul Johnson. But the reality of the situation is the Paul Johnsons and George O'Leary's, if you can disarm them, but also just get out of the way. Ask a football question.
Yeah.
Don't tell them how much you think you know. Ask them and let them tell you.
And ask them a smart question. Act like you've actually taken some time. Don't waste their time, insult their intelligence.
Or ask CPJ about golf.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know? Disarm them a little bit.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain. Go to markspain.com. Get to packing. Unfortunately, a lot of Falcon players are going to have to start packing because I have to get down to 53 by tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We're going to talk to former Falcon David Archer, one of my all-time favorite Falcons. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 929 again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Spend your mornings with the game.
Let's go!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift. We got Nikki Noto-Palmer, we got Squid, we've got myself, and now we have former Falcon David Archer. Arch, good morning.
Woo! How are you doing, bud? How are we doing this morning?
Arch, I got to tell you, I think one of the best interviews you've ever done post-game was with Donovan Mutant. It seemed like there's a spiritual depth to this kid, very rootable, interesting, unfailingly optimistic, and very grateful. I really enjoyed hearing from him. I know he got cut, but there was just something about that kid.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, Rob. I thought the depth is a great way to call it. He had a great perspective of what his situation was, what he needed to do, and then understood on the other side of it what the decision makers were going to have to do. And he was comfortable, and I think comfortable was probably the best way to put it as to what he put on tape. And he was just going to let everything lay out there. But he had a very, very deep thought as to, from all perspectives, that was a good way to put it.
I was ready to tithe after hearing that, I think, is what it boiled down to.
I get it. He got a little choked up. Bo was there with me. And right at the end of that, in reflecting and doing all the stuff, because he was kind of thinking out loud, wasn't he, as he was kind of talking to us. And I think the reflection there of everything he had put in, all the work he tried to lay on tape and all the work that he put in and the bond he had to the guys in his room and all kind of stuff kind of got to him a little bit. He was a little teared up when he left.
Yeah, that's a good call. I noticed that too, Arch. And, you know, I'll always like to give you credits. I think you do a phenomenal job with those, but I don't think you really did much there.
I didn't.
Round him up, let him go.
I didn't do anything. I just let him talk, and that's what it's supposed to be for. Hopefully, I get out of the way in those situations. Just let them say what they can. Try to give them something to talk about. And he was spectacular. I could have just handed him the mic and just stood out of the way.
Well, Arch, another interview that you did it in pregame. You and Wes, we had Terry Fontenot on pregame, and I have really enjoyed the last couple of weeks having Terry Fontenot on before the games. I think there's been a lot of things that I've gotten out of it, and one of the things I got out of it last week was when y'all talked to him about how they're constructing this roster. And Arch, we as fans think, hey, they're getting the 53 for the season, right? This is the best 53 for the next 17 games. But Terry told us that that's not how he's building this roster.
No, not at all. It's a good point, Bo. I thought it was very interesting when he said, we're looking for the top, 53 guys, or what did he term it, 48 or 47 guys active on game day to beat Pittsburgh. That's what they were looking at. Now, obviously, there's a long-reaching view of what guys are going to look like potentially in week 7 or 8 that they're going to keep on this roster, and some of that will have to do with the 16-man practice squad and how that's structured, so they have guys they're developing that they may have to reach to and probably will have to reach to at some point during the season because of injury. But they're looking at the roster based on what it looks like right now. And I think that it's a pretty interesting look, he gave us kind of let us look inside the window a little bit as to how they were thinking about what was going on for this game coming up against Pittsburgh. Certainly it'll be reflected probably in Monday night against Philly and that Saturday night Sunday night when Kansas City comes to town. But they are looking here at the front end of the schedule, and they know that things could change and probably will change in the very near future.
Arch, who do you think our defense is preparing for? If you're Tomlin, are you putting in Russ or are you putting in Justin Fields? Because Bo thinks if Fields comes to town with Arthur Smith that the city of Atlanta is going to implode.
Implode? That we're going to implode? Do you think we'll implode if he comes
to town? Well, if they drop 40 on us, yeah, I think we could see – you and I might be ducking for cover leaving the bins.
Well, last time Justin Fields came to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, he went home with his tail tucked between his legs as a Chicago Bear. So I think that you're going to prepare for both. You got to prepare for both guys. I think that obviously Justin brings an ability to run and do some things athletically at the quarterback position that Russ just doesn't necessarily do anymore. I think Russell still has the ability to extend plays, but the ball's coming out more on time with him. Justin's going to have the built-in run game. You're going to have a pretty good idea what it looks like based on what we watched over the last couple of years with Desmond Ridder and Heinicke and even Marcus Mariota, what we did from a run game standpoint with a quarterback. That's what will be built in for Justin Fields. So it's a little bit of a problem, but we know, Tomlin said, I'm not announcing my quarterback until next week. The reason he's doing that is obviously for the reasons you're talking about, Nikki, and the fact that the Falcons are going to begin to prepare for Pittsburgh this week. They're not waiting till next week to get ready. So they're running stuff and game planning, getting things ready. So that pushes that decision down the road to where, Jimmy Lake's going to have to prepare for both quarterbacks because there is a difference between the two.
Art, you being an old school guy coming from the days where you had 4 days, you weren't allowed to drink water, and you played 9 preseason games, how do you feel about starters not playing in the preseason at all? Patrick Mahomes did, of course, Trevor Lawrence did as well. How do you feel about that whole thing? I understand the wisdom in it.
Yeah, Rob, I wanted to play, and I guess it was because that was kind of the way it was in those days anyway, is you played. And obviously there's some coaches that still have, if you want to call it an old school feel, where they want their guys to all get a little taste of the preseason. There is a new way of doing things too. Sean McVay doesn't play anybody. That's where Ra was out there with them. And so they didn't play a lot of most of their starters during training camp or during the preseason games. They get all that work they want in practice, ones against ones, and all those kind of things. So, obviously you can't mimic the game speed in practice because you don't want to get guys hurt. And I think I'm either way on it. You just want to know that they're going to hit the ground running when you get there, and you're going to have to trust your team. This is a team that's got some veteran players, but it's also got some young players too. Are they going to be able to ramp up and be ready to go? I think they will, but you don't know. So there's an uncertainty there as to what it's going to look like, at 2 weeks from yesterday, as to what it's going to look like when we kick it off against Pittsburgh, because a lot of these guys just haven't stepped on the field in a game. But you feel comfortable with what you've seen in practice based on what Ross says. So I'm going to go. Those guys are getting paid to do the coaching, and he feels comfortable about where his roster is. He feels comfortable about the practice time they've gotten in, the reps they've gotten. So I think that the rest of us should trust that too.
Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer joining us. Arch, the defensive line, especially that kind of front interior of it, it's a logjam right now. And you go back and you look at who didn't play on Friday, and then who did, and maybe they didn't play to their best. Are we in a situation where there's a guy like Brandon Dorlus that could be in danger of maybe not making the original 53-man roster?
I just don't think that's going to happen, Bo, but you're right. It could. I think that if you burn a draft pick on a guy, especially that high, I just don't think, he's a fourth-round draft pick. So yeah, I think that those guys are going to make the team. I think that that doesn't look good when you cut, guys that you think are going to potentially help you down the road, but certainly guys are going to develop. I think Dorlus did some good things during training camp with that. He did some good things in the games. But you're right. There's a lot of people that are crowded around in that D-line room. And so if you keep the extra player, where are you trimming? Because you got to take somebody off of the roster. You're only keeping 5 receivers, so you're going to keep 6. What's the corner room look like? The versatility of Kevin King and Antonio Hamilton, does that provide you a little bit of room to keep an extra guy on the D-line? Because maybe you've got guys that can play safety and corner, and so you can kind of pad those two rooms with guys that have versatility. That'll be the real challenge that Terry and Raheem will have to go through until 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Well, to that point, what about a guy like Natron Brooks, who we've all thought played great? He was one of our player of the games. With King and Hamilton's, how many positions they can play. Does that leave a guy like Natron Brooks kind of on the outside looking in?
I think it does, based on the numbers and the way I've constructed mine. I think we talked about this during the game. I had like 65 guys for 53 spots, and so you had to begin to start trying to make some tough decisions, and that's where they're at now. They cut, 13, 14 guys yesterday. They're going to have to trim some, 22, 23 more guys off of this roster to get to 53. And so the versatility is going to come into play, and where you feel like you've got more depth. Because one thing that I thought another thing Terry pointed out to us before the game there in our interview was that they're going to keep the best players. They're not necessarily going to get a number that they think, okay, we have to have eight offensive linemen, we have to have eight defensive linemen, we have to have six DBs. He feels like they want to keep the best 53 players, which sometimes doesn't necessarily match up with the numbers that everybody conventionally thinks, okay, you're supposed to keep four backs, you're supposed to keep six receivers. That may not necessarily match up because he wants to keep the best players, and so that's where that versatility is going to come in. So that may affect a Natron Brooks. He did a really good job during this thing, and he played well, but I think that there's some depth that guys provide that may have him on the outside looking. I've got him on the outside looking in on my list.
All right, quickly, Arch, how excited should people be about Georgia Tech? The way they won, inflicting their will on the line of scrimmage.
That's it, Rob. They dominated the up front on both sides of the ball. I mean, give that team a ton of credit. They weren't being given much love going into this game. What, a 10, 11-point underdog going into the game, and I think most people thought that Florida State would rough them up in those strength position areas, and it was the exact opposite. I think we talked about this last week or something. I thought they were going to get the better quarterback play, even though DJ Uiagalelei, I thought he played pretty well for Florida State. I thought he missed some shots, and I thought Haynes King, his ability to run the football and be involved in their run game was phenomenal. But make no mistake, it was about Georgia Tech's physicality up front on both sides of the ball that won the game for him.
All right, excellent work, Arch. You get the rest of the day off. Go play 18.
Arch, any advice for me putting up with these two knuckleheads?
Just turn their mics off, Nikki. You can far better just turn their mics off.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Arch. Appreciate you, brother.
See you guys. Take care.
All right, Life of Squid coming up. What you got, brother?
Anthony Edwards made his first misstep as an NBA player.
Yes, he did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'm a big Anthony Edwards guy, but come on, Ant. What are you doing? We'll talk about it next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's more than just sports talk. This is the Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Oh, we have a treat for you at the top of the hour. We've got Drew Butler, and Abe Gordon's going to yell at you for 2 hours.
So Drew and I just did the math, and I had thought this number was pretty big, but Florida State actually scored more points than I realized. Their last two games against the state of Georgia, their last two games were against Georgia in the bowl game, which you got to understand, they did have a lot of players, and I've taken out for them a little bit. There were a lot of players that opted out. They're basically sending it was pretty much like the Jaguars playing their starters against guys that are no longer on our roster or would be on our roster the other day. But the state of Georgia versus Florida State in their last two games, 87-24. Florida State's been outscored.
I just love that Tech is included in that. It's not just Georgia, right?
Yeah. I mean, Georgia. So Florida, Mike Norvell probably wants to stay away from the state of Georgia.
Georgia Tech may have something to say for all is said and done. A lot of football
run
left.
Run the ball.
Damn right, Brent
that
Key.
Is the best soundbite.
That's all it was. That's all
I love it
needed.
So much.
That's Brent Key to a key. I took
Brent Key to a key.
But I mean, how can you not love a football coach like that? That's who that guy is. It's awesome to see. So
I also heard the Birmingham drawl, like being from Birmingham. I respected it so much. It was like, it was ball as
ball.
In B-A-W-W-L. You know, like it was a
that's
B-A-L-L.
Right. W, not
run
W.
Run the ball.
Just like
ball.
Like Bobby Bowden. Yeah. I mean, it's that. Anyway,
oh, it does.
I'm here for it, Brent Key.
Doesn't have a Bobby Bowden. You know, I like a guy with a southern accent because I am one. You know,
Dad
I love
gummit.
It. I mean, if you sound like me, I'm good with you. Let's go, Dylan.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
That's right, a little W Sauce, a little Bloody Mary mix. They had their, the Baron Burton's, which W Sauce puts on, they had their little invitational thing, their fishing tournament, and then do a cookout and everything. Somehow, I did not go because I had to work. But, you know, ruins the fun when I got to tell them to get it out of football season. But it looked like a really good event. I posted some stuff on social media that they had down there. So get over to WSauce.com, and you can find a retailer near you, or you can grab your own bottle of the Bloody Mary mix done Key West style. There's a lot of that stuff drank this weekend. And it's Rob Tribble approved, folks. So,
indeed, sir.
And my friends at Status Truck and Trailer Repair, the official truck and trailer repair of...
We are the nation!
Yes.
Is that Squid Anthony nation. From there that called us?
Yeah, yep. Anthony's my boy. Runs that place, veteran. Veteran ran and female owned. Status Truck and Trailer Repair. So it's a really cool company. I've gotten to know him and Anna that run it. They're great people. So, anywho, I'm a big fan of Anthony Ant-Man Edwards. Local kid. He did play at Georgia.
Very likable.
Yeah, well, he's...
He was fun to follow in the Olympics, too.
He's fun. He's real. You can... A lot of the players in the NBA game that you watch play, there are times where it's hard to see the passion for the game. And Anthony Edwards oozes passion for the game. You can tell he's out there having as much... He's like a kid... playing on a court when he's younger. He's just smiling. But he's also intense.
He's also 23. He is a kid.
Well, I mean, don't ruin my conversation.
I'm sorry. You
with
keep
facts,
building, keep building right? it up. I'll sit here.
All right, he's a grown man. All right, he's a grown ass man, Nikki. Well, he might have stepped in it because he decided that he was going to put out there that other than Michael Jordan in that era. There wasn't a lot of skilled players. And that's an interesting comment to throw out there because I think he's way wrong for one. But, I mean, guys like Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, I mean, you can go through like a lot of players. And Isaiah Thomas, whether we like him or not, was a hell of a player.
Absolutely.
Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaq was also in that time frame at one point.
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller.
John Stockton.
One of the greatest. Yeah,
ask
Carl
Gary
Malone.
Payton about John Stockton.
Gary Payton's another guy.
Yep.
So shots fired is what you're saying.
Just naive.
Stephen A. Smith was doing some kind of panel about the Showtime with Magic Johnson. And... You know, he asked Magic Johnson about these comments. Because Dylan has it.
You know, I don't never respond to a guy that's never won a championship. There's not nothing to really say. He didn't win a college championship. I don't know if he even won a high school championship.
Well, damn, there you go.
Yep.
So Magic Johnson pretty much dropped the hammer.
Why wouldn't he?
He napalmed him.
Yeah.
He had a whole era to defend in that moment.
And I love it because, for one, Anthony Edwards can say whatever he wants. That's fine. But know that, you know, there's going to be criticism. But it also brings up the bad blood between NBA might be the worst of all of these. Except, well, Tom Brady is all of a sudden stepping into this. Get off my lawn. You all suck. I was better. And he literally just quit playing. But old NBA players love to kill young NBA players. It's kind of... And Charles Barkley was another guy that was talented.
Oh, the load management stuff, all the things, right?
But they'll tell you about how different the game was. Guess what? They're right. You know what they played when Michael Jordan was in his heyday? When Magic and Chuck and all these guys... They played a thing called defense 82 games a year.
Yep.
And there was the rules have changed. The old the hip check rule and everything. All these rules that they have gotten rid of to make these games where they're just scoring at will. I mean, Steph Curry might be the greatest shooter of all time. But would Steph Curry be a different player in that era? Because the one thing that you always go back and you listen, and when Michael was kind of going through his stage of trying to get to the title, he had those bad boy Pistons teams, and they beat the crap out of him.
That's what got him in the weight room.
Yeah. And he had to change exactly how his whole identity as a player in a lot of ways. So I think it's just talking a little bit out of school. I think it's ignorance. I'm not saying that it's a stupid comment. I think it's an ignorant comment. And ignorance is just uninformed, guys. It's not a bad word. I like to use it sometimes on people to make them feel stupid. But Anthony Edwards, go back, watch a little film, see how talented some of those guys was, and see how all these Hall of Famers, like the Charles Barkleys of the world, and how talented they all really, really were.
Watch Kevin McHale in the paint, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards.
I mean, geez. I mean, what about... You had Kareem in that era.
just come on. But they're ignorant. They don't pay any attention. They don't pay any attention to history at all.
No, that's our biggest fear is I'm not sure if they open a history book these days in school.
Well, Nikki, I enjoyed your calm presence. Your energy is just beyond reproach. I love every second of it.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me. This was fun, guys.
It was wonderful. Squid, not so much. All right.
You'll get plenty of me through the football season, Rob.
All right. Make sure you ride the gain in there when Abe takes over at the top of the hour. He's going to be in the red, man, yelling excessively at people. Hopefully Drew Butler will kind of keep him in check. And I hand it off to those guys next for the steakhouse. This has been the Morning Shift. I think I'm back with you guys on Friday, by the way.
So, yay.
Yay. Hooray. Sports Radio 99 again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.